I want to thank all of you for having us. It's been a real joy, as always, to be with you and privilege to worship with you. I like the way you all do things here. It's simple, worshipful, all the music and the prayer, and everyone's seems to be here to honor the Lord Jesus, and I appreciate that so much. Turn with me tonight, if you would, to Luke chapter 7 for a little while. Luke chapter 7, this will be verses 36 through 50 we'll read. You won't hear anything tonight that you haven't heard before. At least I hope you won't. But by the grace of God, may He show us tonight the kind of faith that saves a sinner and who the object of that faith is. In verse 36, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. And when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. We really just know a couple of things about this woman. We know that she was a sinner. And we know that she met the Savior. We know that the Savior was merciful to her. And she stood with this alabaster box of ointment. And then in verse 38, she stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on." There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." I guarantee you that's the best thing she ever heard. "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he said to the woman, and this is, we'll look more at this phrase here than anything, this statement, "Thy faith hath saved thee." I want to know something about that, don't you? The salvation of God and how it's performed, how God saves a sinner. "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." You know, there are actually those who are offended by terms like saving faith. If you use the terminology saving faith, they're offended. You shouldn't say that. Faith doesn't save. Who was it that said this? This is not some great theologian that said this. This is the Son of God. And he said to this woman, your faith saved you. That's interesting to me. Is it you? Go in peace. If you are a doctrinal Calvinist, but don't know anything about the work of God for and in the sinner, when he comes in saving grace in Christ and saves a wretched sinner like you, you'd probably like to take verse 50 out, wouldn't you? Is there anybody like here, like that here? Thy faith hath saved thee. I'm not afraid of that, are you? Our Lord Jesus spoke these words. And so we'll look in this passage here at some simple truths concerning her faith, what the Lord is speaking of here. First of all, very simply, her faith was her faith. He said, your faith saved you. Faith is God's gift. We know that. By grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In this thing of saving sinners, God's going to get all the glory. He gives what he requires. He blesses what he gives. He goes and finds his lost sheep and lays it on his shoulders and brings it home and then blesses us for coming home. Well done. Good for you. You came to me. God's gift of saving faith. Religion talks about sinners being given a choice by God. But God never gave a sinner a choice, except in the garden. And really not there. He gave a command, didn't he? We've never had a choice. We had a free will in the garden, but never a choice. Never. So we ought to just shut up about that. You reckon? Let's just, whenever somebody says something about God gave you a choice to make, no, just shut up. Don't say that. That's not from the Word of God. God commands sinners to believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And they like to use this verse, so I'll just quote it. Joshua 24:15. If it seem evil unto you, Joshua said, to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye shall serve. Well, there you go. You're given a choice, aren't you? Well, you can choose the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. It doesn't make any difference which one you choose. If you hate God and you've rejected him and his word and will, then you choose whichever false god you want. But God's not one of the choices. The true God is not one of the choices given there. And so that's falsely quoted and perverted by sinners. Her faith was her faith, but she got it from God. It was God-given faith. That's the kind of faith that saves. If you came up with it, then it's like the faith of those that followed him in John chapter 2, I believe it is, where they followed him because of the miracle. That's man-produced faith. It says they believed on him, but he didn't commit himself unto them because he knew what was in man. He knew that they believed because of the miracles. They believed some things. They saw, they acknowledged that he was powerful and even that he was from God. Nicodemus, before he knew anything, said, we know you come from God. No man could do the things that you do. Well, her faith was her faith. It's God-given faith. Faith that saved. Secondly, her faith caused her to take her place in the dust at the Master's feet. It's one thing to have the Lord over for dinner. Simon did that, didn't he? He wanted to, you know, the Lord. Who's this one everybody's talking about? I think he ought to come have dinner with me, you know, and let's talk. That's one thing. But Mary was in another, this woman here was in another place. And that was because of her faith. The Lord Jesus Christ said at the end of this story, thy faith hath saved thee. How do you know she had faith? Because of where she was. she was at the Master's feet. And then her faith caused her to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. This alabaster box of ointment was most likely the only thing of value that she had. And she freely bestowed it upon the Lord. Another lady in the scripture, in another place in the Word of God, was rebuked by Judas for doing that, for spending costly substance upon the Lord. Oh, that could have been sold and we could have done some good with that. Instead of giving it to the Lord, we could have done some good with it. Oh, let's don't ever be distracted by causes. Oh, it's good to give whenever the Lord has blessed you and anytime you have it in your hand to help somebody. Of course. But the Lord is preeminent. The Lord's gospel and His work and His honor and His glory, and not the causes of men. She freely bestowed it on Him without giving it a second thought. And then, did you notice, I'm sure you did in this passage, that this woman's faith was completely misunderstood and foreign to those who didn't have it. Simon didn't understand anything about what happened there. There's this beautiful thing that took place in that passage of Scripture. And it's what happens here. It's called the worship of Christ. This woman very simply bowed at His feet and worshiped Him and honored Him in whatever way she could. Whatever the way the Lord had blessed her to do so, she honored Him that way. And Simon had no idea what just happened. He said if he would have known who this is, he wouldn't let her do that. He wouldn't let her touch Him. What was she doing in Simon's house, you reckon? Simon knew knew she was a sinner. That seems to be the consensus from everybody about this woman. She's a sinner. Completely misunderstood. Had no idea. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Not that we might do something for Him, that we might know what He did for us. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. We receive them, know them, and speak them. But somebody that doesn't know God has no idea what God did, who He is, what a sinner is, how God saves a sinner, what saving faith is. The natural man receiveth not for two reasons. First of all, they're foolishness to them. They have no interest in them. They mock and scoff at them. It's ridiculous to them. And then the cause of that, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. No ability, no desire, their foolishness, and no ability to know them because we're carnal, we're fleshly by nature. You must be born again of the Spirit or you can't see the kingdom of God. And that's where Simon was. But he that is spiritual, the natural man receiveth not, can't know them, they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, discerneth all things, understands the things of God. Not all of them, not like we ought to. But we know what God said. We know how God saves a sinner. We know what grace is. It's not God doing something and then waiting on you to make good on it. We know what grace is. Don't we discern the things of God? Why? Because we are they which are of the Spirit. God has done a work in our heart. We have faith. God-given, saving faith. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man, discerned of no man. Much of my family do not understand me. They don't understand my God, my gospel, or me. They're discerned of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have, grace, mercy,
Wonder of wonders. We have the mind of Christ. Oh, and that's what was going on here. Simon didn't have any idea anything about her or the one she worshipped and loved. And then, fifthly, her faith. Now, think about this. Do you think, Simon said now that Christ, if he had known who this woman was, he would not let her touch him. And he would have been right not to let her touch him. Do you think she didn't know that? Think about it now. Peter said, when the Lord gave him just a little glimpse of his power and sovereignty, Peter said, "Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. You ought not to even be around me." You reckon this woman didn't know what Simon knew? That Christ would have been right to say, "Get away from me. You got no business touching me. You're unclean. You're foul." Oh, certainly he had the right to do that. She was well aware of that. She was aware of her own unworthiness, and yet she came to him anyway. Reckon why? Because she had to. She had to. She had nowhere else to go. Come she must. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. She knew she had no business touching him, but she had to. She had to. She had to honor him. I know you've heard this poem before, but it's so applicable here. Think about this in terms of this woman. She knows what she is, obviously. She put herself in the dust and got behind him and washed his feet with the hairs of her head, with her tears. Got behind him and did it. "Come, humble sinner, in whose breast a thousand thoughts revolve. Come with your guilt and fear oppressed, and make this last resolve. I'll go to Jesus, though my sin hath like a mountain rose. I know his courts I'll enter in, whatever may oppose. Prostrate I'll lie before his throne, and there my guilt confess. I'll tell him I'm a wretch undone without his sovereign grace. I'll to the gracious king approach, whose scepter mercy gives. Perhaps he will receive my touch, and then the sinner lives. Perhaps he will admit my plea. Perhaps will hear my prayer. But if I perish, I will pray, and perish only there." That's where this woman is. I guarantee you. I know, because I've been there. By his grace, I've been there. "I can but perish if I go. I am resolved to try. For if I stay away, I know I must forever die. But if I die with mercy sought, when I the king have tried, this word to die, delightful thought, as sinner never died." He never told a sinner to get away from him, did he? Oh, of course he could have done that. He had the right to do that. Of course we have no business. We're not worthy to come into his presence, much less touch him. Oh, but he receives sinners. This man receiveth sinners. Aren't you glad he does? And that's the way she came. And we see that. And that's her faith. "Thy faith hath saved." That's the kind of faith that God gives. We know our unworthiness, and yet we're coming. "Let me go, Jacob. I will not let you go. I can't. Unless you bless me. Until you bless me." That's the faith that God gives right there. The faith that man comes up with, "Well, I think I'll make my decision for Jesus today." The faith that God gives is quite different. That Canaanite woman that cried out for mercy, the Lord answered her not a word, and she just kept crying until the disciples said, "Make her shut up. She's bothering us."
And she just kept crying, "Lord, oh, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." And he said to her, it wouldn't be right. It's not right for me to take the children's bread, that which belongs to my sheep, my people, and give it to a dog like you. And she said, that's right. That's the faith that God gives right there. That's how this sinner woman came at his feet and wept and washed his feet with the hairs of her head and broke open that alabaster box of precious ointment. Very costly, it says. Very costly. It doesn't matter what. Costly? The Lord gave it to her. We talked about that this morning. We're just giving him what he gave us. That's the faith that he gives. It wouldn't be right. That's right, Lord. It wouldn't be. But even the dogs can eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Number six, saving faith is seen and revealed in a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. She didn't just render service to Christ. In verse 38 there, look back at verse 38 with me. There's repentance there. There's service, there's love, and there's worship. In verse 38, stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet. She was weeping. Why do you think she was weeping? Well, I know why sinners weep, don't you, in the presence of the Lord? Because we're vile and we're wretched. And we're heartbroken over our sin. Why do you think Peter wept bitterly when the Lord revealed to him that he had denied him? He heard that rooster crow and he remembered the word of the Lord. Oh, and it broke his heart. And then there's service. She broke open that box of ointment. She began to wash his feet with her tears. She wiped his feet with the hairs of her head. And then look at the rest of it there, and kissed his feet. And kissed his feet. There's love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many render a kind of service to Christ. Simon had him over for dinner. That was nice of him, wasn't it? That's real nice of him. And it was customary when somebody came over to wash their feet when they came in. Simon didn't even bother to do that. The sinner woman washed his feet, but you know, I'm pretty sure it wasn't customary to get down in the dirt and kiss somebody's feet. That's beyond service, isn't it? Oh, we're not saved to serve. That's not, you know, they sing that song, Jesus needs a few good men. No, he don't. He doesn't need anybody. He doesn't need me, you, or anybody else. And he didn't save us to serve him. If he needs anything, he said, would I ask you if I needed something? Oh, my. So it's not about that. We serve him because we love him. But love goes beyond just bare service. She kissed his feet. That nobody required that. That wasn't customary. She did it because she loved him. She was the one described in that parable that loveth much. That's why she kissed his feet. And she anointed them with ointment. That's worship. If you love him, you'll worship him. Everybody that loves him worships him. If you want to know who loves him, look at who worships him. In this parable, did you notice in the parable that the Lord told about the two debtors? There was nothing about faith mentioned in that parable. And yet when the Lord said to that woman, thy faith hath saved thee, that faith was evidenced by what? The parable didn't mention anything about faith. It talked about love. But it was her faith that saved her, and that faith was evidenced by love. There are some things we know from the Word of God about faith. Without it, we can't please God. We quoted Hebrews 11:6 just a minute ago. But with faith, if you have faith, you do please God. You have pleased God. How? How in the world? Is it because God is pleased with our faith? No. How many times did he say to the disciples, "Oh, you of little faith"? God can't take that. God's not pleased with anything that's pathetic like our faith. At one time he said, "How is it that you don't have any faith? Have you been so long with me, Philip, and you don't know me? Have you been sitting under the gospel so long and you still don't know him?" Our faith is not acceptable to God. That's not what it's about. But faith vitally unites us to Christ. And in Christ, God is well pleased with us. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. With faith, God is well pleased. Why? Not because our faith is something great, something commendable, but because the faith that God gave us has one object. And that faith embraces and unites us vitally to the Lord Jesus Christ. And being united to him, being found in him, the Lord's well pleased. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And everybody in him, he's well pleased with them by God's grace. So we know that without faith, it's impossible. But with faith, in John 6:28, they said unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God." Now, they didn't say that we might work some of the works of God, that we might take a stab at it, you know, make a run at it. What they're asking is, how can we satisfy God? What can we do that'll make God say, "I'm satisfied with you"? And the Lord Jesus Christ said, here's how that happens. "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." Again, God doesn't accept our faith as a substitute for obedience to the law. No, no. That faith whereby we believe on him unites us to him. And in him, we've done the work of God. Not some of it. Not our good outweighs our bad, if we had any good, which we don't. But we've done all the work of God because we're in him. You see that? How simple that is. He said, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." And they said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" He said, "Here's how you do the work of God." And they said, "Well, what work are you going to do?" In verse 31 of John 6, he said, they said, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven." And he's about to answer their question. What work do you do? "I'm the bread of God that came down from heaven. And I give life unto the world." Does that answer your question? How can God be satisfied with me? How can I work the work of God, make God happy with me? "What work do you work?" they said. "I give life." That's what he does. "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Now, the Lord said to this woman, "Thy sins
which are many, are forgiven you. The Lord shows Simon here that he knows his thoughts. But Simon's sitting there thinking, well, what a sinner she is. And at the same time that he's well acquainted with this woman, Simon had said, if he knew what kind of woman she was, the Lord said, her sins are many. The Lord's acquainted with us, isn't he? He knows us intimately. He knows every thought we've ever thought. He knows what we've been thinking since we came in here to our shame. He knows every thought, every word before we ever speak it. While it's still in our tongue, thou knowest it, Lord, altogether. Altogether. He knows us a whole lot better than we know ourselves, doesn't he? Thy sins, which are many, are forgiven thee. He had somewhat to say to Simon. And he said it, didn't he? He also had something to say to her. Go in peace. Blessed words from the Master. Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Now I want to close with this thought. In the parable that the Lord gave, remember again, there's two debtors and one creditor. And different amounts are owed, a relatively small amount and a relatively large amount. And both of these debts were due. The time came when the debts were due. And the Lord said the creditor frankly, he freely forgave them both. No strings attached. You owed me money, now you don't owe me anything. Now who loves him the most? And Simon, he could answer the question, couldn't he? The Lord said you've judged rightly. There's a lot of folks that can answer the questions right and supposedly render some kind of service to God. Remember Paul said, oh, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, because they have a zeal of God. They're doing, they're saved to serve, you know, they're serving the Lord. It's a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And here's the problem. Not submitting themselves to the righteousness of God, they go on about to establish their own righteousness. Simon could answer the question. He knew the doctrine, didn't he? But he didn't love the Master. All right, in this parable, when they were forgiven, the one that was forgiven much, was he forgiven much because he loved much? Or did he love much because he was forgiven much? You see, you could read the last part of this passage. And you could, let's look at it again together and we'll be through. Look at verse 41 again. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and the one owed 500 pence and the other 50, one-tenth of the amount. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And there are those who can rightly judge. Paul said to the Corinthians, knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge without love puffeth up. And there are those who have knowledge. You rightly judge, but no love. Love buildeth up. Love edifieth. Verse 44, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon. He turned to the woman, but he's still talking to Simon. You got this picture? See thou this woman? I entered into your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil you didn't anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Now wait a minute, it sounds like she was forgiven because she loved. Listen to the parable again. There's two debtors, and they're both frankly forgiven. Which one loved him the most? The one who was forgiven the most. So the forgiveness is the cause of the love. Right? We love him. Why? Because he first loved us and forgave us. The wording there is, he sent his son to be the sin offering, the propitiation for our sins. That's why we love him. And in this language here, when it says, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, you can see by her love that she's been forgiven by Christ. You see that? Religion's got it backwards, doesn't it? Oh, the natural man, we've got it backwards, don't we? If you just love the Lord now, do something for the Lord, he'll forgive you. She loved him because he had forgiven her much. And we see that she did, don't we? And the Lord said to her because of that, because he had given her faith in himself, given life to whom he will, as he said, was his authority, sovereign right to do. He had the authority to do. He said to her those three wonderful words, go in peace. He hath made peace by the blood of his cross. And so he speaks peace to the sinner. Bless his name. Amen. Thank you, Chris. Take your hymnal and turn to hymn number 235. Let's stand and sing Pass Me Not. 235.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at a throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit, save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? art called.